Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's turn over to Philippians 2 this morning. Philippians 2. Philippians 2:12. Everybody there? It's on your sheet too. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It's who works in you? God. He works in you what? To will and to do for his good pleasure. Now we're going to get a better picture of this. Let's look on your sheets and look at this in several different versions. The New Living Translation says, "Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Look at it in the easy-to-read version. "My dear friends, you always obeyed what you were taught. Just as you obeyed when I was with you, it is even more important for you to obey now that I am not there. So you must continue to live in a way that gives meaning to your salvation. Do this with fear and respect for God. Yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it." This is sounding pretty good, huh? The Living Bible. "Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I am away, you must be even more careful to do the good things that result from being saved. Obeying God with deep reverence, shrinking back from all that might displease him, for God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him, and then helping you do what he wants." And in the Message, "What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure." Amen. So who's working in us? God. What's he working in us to do? He's working in us to help us to desire what he wants, and then helping us to fulfill what he has caused us to want to do. That is pretty good news. In other words, as we're going into this new year, I just love going into the new year. We are not in this thing alone. God himself will give us the direction if we'll listen to him, if we'll ask him. He'll give us the desires to do what he would have us to do. He doesn't push them off on anybody. Did you know that? It's if we'll go to him and humble ourselves and say, "Lord, what you want me to do? What you would have me to do? What is it you would have me to do in 2016? What is the plan, God?" And then he will give it to us. Not just at the beginning of the year. All the time. It's just a good time to reflect and say, "Lord, what is it? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do?" And then he doesn't just give you the plan and say, "Okay, give it your best shot, you alone." He says, "Now I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to strengthen you to do it. I am going to work in you to make you what you need to be to do it. Let's read a couple of these different parts again. Look at the first one in the New King James. Therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, people have misunderstood that verse. All you have to do, here's a tip, when you're reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible, you have to always, the number one rule is context. You have to look at what is going around the verse, look at who wrote it, look at what he wrote before, because it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so these letters, a lot of these in the New Testament, they're actually letters. You know, they weren't written in chapter and verse. They were just written. So what you see in the second, third chapter, it goes right along with what's in the first chapter, the fourth chapter. And you can see right at the beginning of this, I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to look back there. But in Philippians, it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, this is verse 1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. That's how he started out. He said, to all you saints who are in Christ Jesus. So he's already talking to brothers. He's already talking to Christians. So when you look at Philippians 2:13, you know, people say, you know, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And some people misinterpret that and say, well, see, you're still working it out. No, he's already started saying, you're Christians, all right? Now, what does he mean by working it out? You see it in these different versions. In the Living Bible, do the things that result from being saved. In other words, you have a race to run, a walk to walk. Do what, because you've been saved, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? With reverence, knowing that we have a short time here, that God is a holy God, and that he has specific things for us to do, and we don't have any time to waste. And so what is it that he would have us to do, and get busy doing that? In the New Living Translation, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation obeying God. We've been given, we weren't just saved. I mean, we were saved, number one, to come back in the family of God. That's his biggest concern, so that he could have fellowship with us, so that he could know us. It's not so we could do all the other things. You know, some people think, I mean, it's not the only reason we're serving God, just to get other people saved. Get them saved for what? So that they can come in and be in fellowship with God. So if we miss the fact that we are, number one, supposed to have fellowship with God and enjoy his presence and enjoy him, and then just go about doing all the other work, we're missing the point, because why are we doing the other work? So other people can be saved, so other people can know more about him. Well, what about us? Right now, if we're in the family of God, we can be experiencing the fruits of salvation, just be experiencing what it is to be saved and experiencing God's presence every day, enjoying the journey, enjoying what he is doing in us. It's not about just working for him. It's the results, enjoying the results and the fruit of our salvation. But really what I wanted to focus on was the last part, for God is working in you. We go back to the New King James at the top. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The New Living Translation says, verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He is the power that'll help us get it done. Verse 13 in the Easy to Read says, yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you do what he helps you want to do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. In verse 13 in the Living Bible says, for God is at work within you. Say, God is at work in me. Now. Right now. All this week, he was in you. Yeah. working in you. Right now, this week, right now, as we're receiving the Word of God, He's at work in us. He's in there enlightening, tweaking, changing. For what? For us to be able to do what pleases Him. He's working on our desires right now. He's working on our motives right now. He can be showing us things that are to come right now. There's something supernatural that's going on right now. God is imparting to us. He is. If we're Christians, He is at work in us all the time, if we'll let Him. What is our part? We just have to yield to Him. We just have to acknowledge it. But, you know, it helps so much to realize and to be aware of Him working in us. When we come up against an obstacle, we don't have to act like we're facing it alone. We can know that He's working in us. That He gives us the power to do what He's called us to do. In the Living Bible, it says, "For God is at work in you, helping you to obey Him, and then helping you do what He wants." Thank God for His help, that He helps us. Thank God that He's not just telling us what to do and sending us off and saying, "We'll see how you do with that. Go and try to do this." He's saying, "Let's do this. Now, come on, I'm going to be with you. We're going to do this." Don't ever think that you could do anything the Lord asks you to do in your own strength. That's what will defeat you. Because sometimes if you're following God, He will give you things that are bigger than you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Let's just read the Bible. All throughout history, men and women of God, He's giving them things that are bigger than they could do. Which means we have to rely on Him to get it done. It is not that He's giving us something to do and then you work really hard in and of yourself to do it. That's not the deal. Now, that's what the world does. And that's why we have to be so careful, because the world and the way it approaches life is different than the way the Christian ought to approach life. For the world, if you're without God, there is no one else but you. Yeah, you may pull in some friends and people to help you, but there is no outside force. It's you coming up with what you want to do and what your dreams and desires are, and then you go out and do them. With the Christian, we go to God and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then He helps us to get that done. That's a lot different. So that means when you reach obstacles or when you reach challenges, and we all will, we don't look and say, "Well, I got to figure out how to do this." We say, "Lord, help me. Show me. Strengthen me. You're helping me. You're bringing me up. This is your plan. This is not my plan." If we can say that, we can firmly go to Him and say, "Lord, you're helping me. I expect you to help me." In the Message, it says that energy. It says, be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God Himself willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. Now let's turn over to Hebrews. It's a verse that goes right along with this. Thank God. Say, "God is working in me." He's working in me. Say, "I believe that." I'm coming up. Hallelujah. Just saying God is working in me, that does something for me. Because, you know, if you go by sight sometime, you'll say, "Where is God?" Anybody else going to be honest and say, "Well, sometimes you look and go, What happened? I was going pretty good, but where'd he go? We don't go by feelings. We don't walk by sight. That's when you need to say, God is in me and he's working in me. When you feel like it the least, when it looks like nothing is happening, when it looks like you don't know which way to go, we need to go back and say, no, God is working in me. He is. You know, notice it didn't say he will work sometime. It said he is working in you. That's
right.
That's present tense. That means now.
Amen.
And whatever, and at whatever point you're thinking about it, that's now. Mm-hmm. You never had any thoughts in the past. You might think about the past, but your thoughts are now.
Mm-hmm.
You never had any thoughts in the future either. You might think about the future, but when you're thinking about it, it's now. Right?
Right.
So God is working, present tense, in us now. And if God's working in us, that means he's with us. That means he is taking part with us. That means he's helping us. And it doesn't matter what else is going on then. God is in the middle of our lives. Then that can put us over right there. That's the mentality shift that we have to put us through and over any kind of situation. This year, we will face challenges.
That's right.
Not maybe. That's a bad confession, Pastor Jim. No, that's reality. The Bible says it. I believe it's John 16:33, in this life you will. You're going to face tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, you're going to face trip. You will. We will. Just even getting up sometimes. It's just like, I don't want to go into wherever I'm going or whatever. But you will face challenges. But if we know that any challenge I'm going to face, God will be there. And he's working in me to help me right now to get prepared to overcome any challenge. We've talked about it before. The Bible says you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means anything that's in front of me, I have what it takes to go through it, to go over it. So yes, I'll have challenges this year. You will have challenges this year, but they're not going to take us out. We're going to go over them. Some of you don't seem so convinced. Say, I'm going to go over them. I will go over them with the Lord's help. I'm going to sail through. You say, well, it's not done. Sure, doesn't feel like sailing. That's relative. Sometimes, you know, if you look back at stuff, you forget certain things. You know, if you look at things from a high level, you do sail through certain things. When you're going through it, doesn't feel like it so much. But if you will take the perspective of the Lord and realize he's working in us and keep our eyes up there instead of where we are, you will. It gives you momentum. It gives you lift. Because you're not looking at what's going on right now. You're saying God has, he's got a plan and it stretches out all the way to where I leave this earth and beyond. I'm going to leave a heritage. I'm going to leave a legacy. And it's part of what God's doing. And if we're listening to what God is telling us to do, like this verse says, it's saying that he is hooking us up, equipping us, giving us the desires, and then helping us to do what? Just any old thing? No, what he's told us to do. What he's given us the desire to do. So the things that he's given us to do, we, number one, have to agree that we're going to do what he's telling us to do. This verse, it doesn't apply just to whatever we want to dream up. It's not like, well, we're going to come up with what we want to do and then ask God for his stamp of approval. It doesn't work that way. What we need to do is say, God, here I am. Send me. Show me. And he is going to help us to be enlightened and guided and have desires after what he is going to do. Those plans are already blessed. He is going to strengthen us towards those plans. He's going to help us carry out. What are those plans? They're moving the kingdom of God and his plan forward on the earth. Amen.
Amen.
There isn't anything more exciting than that. So that, you know, that has eternal value. Why? Because he gave you the plans. Would he just give you something that doesn't? Just give you something just to waste your time? He's going to give us something that go with his greater plan and that move the kingdom of God forward. You guys find Hebrews 13? Hebrews 13:20. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Notice that, verse 21, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Does that sound like what we just read in Philippians? He's going to make us complete, what? To do whatever we want to do? No, make us complete to do his will. And what does it say next? Working in you. Does that sound like what we just read? Yes, he's working in us. What is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Now, look again on your sheet. In the Amplified, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed and ratified the everlasting agreement, the covenant, the testament, may that God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen." Hallelujah. He is working in us. Let's read that one more time. He will strengthen, complete, and perfect us and make us what we ought to be. Right there. We know. So many times that we have an inkling of what we ought to be. Well, good news. There's no use saying, "Well, I'm just not everything I should be." Well, we know that. Right? We all know that. We're not everything we ought to be. This is God's standard. But we're getting there. The good news is that God said he's helping us to be what we ought to be. He's bringing us up. There's no sense in going, "Well, I'm just not all that. Well, we know. Established fact, if you have a spouse, they know that. They're like, "Yeah, I knew that 13 years ago. You just found that out? Really? That just got into your consciousness? Really? That thing that you've been doing, you just realize you've been doing that?" You don't have to look too far. You got brothers and sisters, just ask them. "You everything you ought to be? Am I everything I ought to be?" They look at you just, "What, really? You have to ask me that." We know our kids. We love our kids, but they're little people that are growing up. We ourselves, we're little kids. I mean, in the sight of God, we've only been around for a few decades. We're just learning. We're not where we will be. But thank God he's helping us to be what we ought to be. And that's a process. Everybody say, "That's a process."
That's a process.
That'll free somebody up right there. Because some people just are, I need to be perfect now. Well, number one, you're not going to be perfect when you leave this earth, when it's time for you to go, let alone, the first few years. It's a process. We're going. We're all moving towards something. And we have a Lord that's helping us, quickening us inside to make us what we ought to be. That's good news.
Yes, it is.
He's helping us right now. It says, he'll help us make us what we ought to be and equip us with everything good. Why? Why? So we can sit around and just, indulge our flesh in whatever way, shape, or form and live a selfish life. No, he said for a specific purpose, that you may carry out his will. In other words, he has a plan and he is going to help us to carry that plan out. And he is going to, it says, while he himself works in us, works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus. So he is doing something. He's doing some work. And he does it all the time. Think about this. From now until the time we leave this earth, when we've lived out our life, when we've run our course, he will be working on us and with us and through us. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He doesn't just have a season, a window that he works on you, and then he says, well, I'm done. And if you didn't get in at that window, you're done. You just have to go the best you can the rest of your life. Thank God that's not the truth.
Amen.
We just go from glory to glory. Getting better. You ever see, seems like when I was growing up, somebody had a t-shirt. It says, I can't remember the exact phrase, but the beginning was like, you know, be patient with me, God isn't through with me yet, or something like that. Well, that goes for everybody. He's not through with us. He is working. Well, you say, well, I've made it pretty well. Well, we can have a talk about that afterwards. But even if we think we're doing pretty well, and we might be doing fine, it's not that we're all not doing fine, but if you start to think you've arrived, that's when we have a problem. That, you know, I couldn't get any better than I am right now. That's a problem. But even if we're doing pretty well, we can get better. He can bring us higher. He can do more through us. Well, I have everything I need or want. Well, then we can believe that we'll have more than we need or want so that we can help more people. Look at the New Living Translation. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. He is helping us. He is strengthening us. He is giving us plans. He's giving us direction. Part of his plan. And he doesn't expect us to do it on our own. Look at there on your sheet, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. It says, we have such trust from Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Look at that in the New Living Translation. It says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. You know, that applies with anything that we do in life. That's why you don't need to look at anybody else. If you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, number one, if God has put somebody into a place and enabled and qualified them to do it, you couldn't take that position if you wanted it. Because it's God that enables. It's God that helps. It's God that equips. Now, I know the world, they fuss and fight and try to elbow and get into certain places and positions, but it's not so in the kingdom of God. God calls, God equips, God strengthens, God helps, God qualifies. And so you don't need to worry about what somebody else is doing and say, well, I'm not as good as that person in that area. I don't know as much in that area. Wow, look at how they do it. Number one, if it's somebody that's working for God, know that you're seeing them under the anointing of God. Do you realize this? Some people do not understand this. Like certain people you've heard minister the gospel that you listen to on messages, all the time you see them, majority of, unless you know them personally, is under the anointing of God. And you get an impression of what that person is like, but all you may think they walk on water. All you need to do is, if they're married, go ask their spouse if that's true. I'm serious. Because what happens is that you'll say, well, that person's such and such, and then nudge your spouse or nudge your children and say, why can't you be like that? You're comparing the wrong thing. You're saying this person is under the anointing. You may not realize it, but when you hear messages, that it is under the anointing of God, that's God supernaturally doing something in that person, that's what you're seeing. That person doesn't walk like that 24/7. I don't care. You name whoever you are. I'm not saying they intentionally are different or hypocritical or anything like that. I'm just saying what you're seeing is the power of God manifested in their life. And all of us should have that if we're walking in what He's called to do. You should look at somebody and go, I don't know how you do that. Well, that's God calls and equips individual ones. He qualified us. If we're working with Him, we will be able to do things that we couldn't do in and of ourselves. And it will be a gifting, a grace, a help to do that. And it's supernatural. It's not just natural. It's not just a natural gifting. It's not just like you could take an inventory and say, well, you're gifted to do this, so that's what you should be when you grow up. That's not how the kingdom of God works. We will go to God, ask Him. That's what we should teach our children, not just to look at purely the natural. Yes, your children may have natural gifts and abilities. That does not translate into spiritual giftings. Did you hear me? They're not the same thing. So you may be gifted, or that's the wrong word, the way I'm trying to say it. You may have certain abilities, naturally speaking. That doesn't mean that's how God will use your abilities, but you shouldn't use your natural abilities, take inventory on those to determine God's will. Because God can ask you to do something, and you'll say, I don't know how to do that. I don't feel like I'm good at it, but it is exactly what God's asking you to do. Who are you going to turn to then? You have to turn to Him. See, a lot of us, we're really comfortable in doing certain areas, and it's different for everybody. Where you're really strong, you're secure in that, you know you can do it. But I've seen time after time, and you know, as you walk with God and then you hear people, God will push you out beyond that to where you're not comfortable. And you can't rely on those things. And you have to turn to Him and say, I don't know how to do this. And He'll say, well, good. That's why I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to equip you to do this. I don't expect you to do this by yourself. We can't do what God has called us to do in and of ourselves. Period. You can look in the Bible. Look account after account. People that have walked with God have not been able to do what He's called them to do in and of their own strength. It's beyond them. This is status quo. This is the mode of operation. If you're going to walk with God, get used to it. Well, I don't like being pushed beyond what I can handle. Okay. Well, I guess you need to know how to handle more. Do you think God knows? So go back. Do you think God knows what we can handle and what we are, what we ought to be?
Yes.
You notice it didn't say, I want to equip you to be what you can already do now. You don't need to be equipped for what you can already do today. You already can do it. When you're talking about equipping, when you're talking about helping somebody and bringing it up and strengthening them, you're talking about something they can't do. Right? You guys with me or not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because this year, we're going to, if we're going with God, we're not going backwards. Are you planning on going backwards this year? I'm not. Well, just know this. If you're going to go and do something that you haven't had before, that means we're going to have to change and grow somehow, does it not? Well, I'm going to win the lottery. We're not talking about that. Most life is not like that. It just dumps on you and all of a sudden you have more. And you guys know as well as I do, they've looked at that over and over. And if somebody is in the mode of operation that they have been, you can give them money, you can give them things, but they can't handle it because the way they think has not changed. And you look at them a little bit later, they're in the same position. That's not godly. God will help you take ground and hold it. You know, in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, when the Israelites were driving out all those ites, all the different peoples, you know, as they were taking it, it said they took them over. You're not going to take it over all at once, lest you take it over and the wild animals come in and the weeds grow up because you can't occupy it yet. You're going to take it over little by little as you can grow, as you're able to maintain. I don't know about you. I don't want to go up faster than I can maintain. I don't want my life to look like this, skyrocket and then dive because I couldn't handle it. We've seen that over and over. You live long enough and it just seems like people just get younger and younger with different things, but the world will hold up youth and hold up intelligence in a certain area as somebody rockets through life. They look like they're doing so well, but time after time, they cannot handle that and they crash. Their life blows apart. People look at them and say, how can you be unhappy? You have everything. It's not about having the stuff. But then you see certain lives that looks like they're just incrementally going up, going up, going up. But then you look 30 years later and they're still going up. They never had to dive. Do you want your life to take a dive or just to keep going up? Well, this year we're going to go up, right? So that means we're going to be stretched. I didn't get any amens on that. Everybody stopped right there, said, I was with you up until that part. But we're going to have to be stretched. Excuse me. We're going to change. Amen. See that? Oh, I got one amen. Change. The longer you live, the more you look at changes. Well, it used to look so easy. The more you go, you've been like, wow, you got to change. I know what that entails. I know how easy I think it looks and then what it takes to really do it. But with God, we can do it. This is not picking out what you want to change, which so many people do. Well, I'm going to change this. Good luck with that. I'm never going to, you know, the clock changes from 11:59 to 12, and they say, okay, I'm never going to do that thing I've been doing for 10 years ever again. Good luck. If it's just you just deciding I'm not going to do it, good luck with that. But if it's God, God's showing you, I want you to do this. I want you to, now, this is the plan. You start putting this away. You start working on this a little. Now you are on God's plan for changing. Now you're on God's plan for growth, and He is working in us, helping us to do that. Now that will happen. Amen? Amen. That you have His strength to work in you and to bring you up. And to bring you forward and to accomplish what He wants in us. So when we look back at the end of this year, we can say, yeah, man, I have changed. I have grown. But if you look back, it doesn't, you're going to have to submit your will. I'm going to have to submit my will. We're going to have to give Him something to work with. But it's not the same as you taking it and you doing it. Our part is say, Lord, I'm here, help me. You need me to change that, you help me to change it, and I'll do it. And if we'll yield to Him and lean on Him, the power will be there to help us, to strengthen us, to help us change, and you can start changing. You look back and say, that wasn't so bad, actually. Look at what I'm doing now. But it was incremental. I was in this situation. I looked to God and said, God, help me. So I just bumped up a little bit. I was in this situation. I looked to God, say, Lord, help me. And I bumped up a little bit to where I'm going forward. You know, like Andrew Womack calls it, effortless change. If you just let the word just be the preeminent, have the preeminent position in your life and just say, Lord, okay, you say to do it, I'll do it. Spirit of God's prompting you? Okay, I can do it. You can change, and it's not like you working. If you're on God's rehabilitation program and growth program, it's not you doing it. Your job is letting Him help you. And you start growing up, and all you're doing is walking out His plan, and you become stronger. And you get better and strengthened and equipped. And you look back and go, well, I mean, I'm different. I know I had to change it. This part of it wasn't easy, but I just look to Him and I can't even identify with where I used to be. How did I get here? Little by little. Stuff falls off you. Another thing falls off you. Another thing falls off you. Things that you beat your head against and tried and you resolved and you had lists and you just boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? But then you let God and say, God, help me. Show me where you want me to go. I'll do that. I acknowledge that you're in me, you're working in me, you're helping me, you're equipping me. I believe this is your will. I believe this is the path, and I expect you to help me. And now that those walls, you just blow holes in them to where it just comes down, and you didn't have to just do this and try to ram into it. It was like piece by piece by piece came down, and you're just on the other side, and you look back, and you hardly realize, how'd that happen? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We can experience that more. I believe this year, we can come up, we can look back and say, God, you're so merciful. You were so gracious. You helped me. You grew me up. Glory to God. Look on your sheet, John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Now, this goes right along with everything we've said. As we go to Him and ask Him, our desires are going to line up with what He wants us to do, and He's going to help us. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Our Father is glorified when we bear fruit. Are we going to bear fruit this year?
Yes.
Well, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We're going to bear fruit, though. And God's glorified in us bearing fruit. But it's not going to be our own strength that's going to get it done. If you did accomplish something in your own strength, it's not lasting. The true everlasting things are going to be what He would have us to do, and it will be strong and stable. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." That word commit means to roll down, to roll away, to remove. Genesis 29, in there it says, this refers to rolling the stone away from the well's mouth. In Joshua 5, the reproach of Egypt is rolled off from Israel. Here, we're encouraged to roll our works into God's care. To take what He has told us to do, to believe that He is guiding us in those things, to believe that He is helping us accomplish those things, and put them over, instead of us trying to pull the load, roll them over and say, "God, this is at Your direction. This is going to be through Your help. Here you go. I believe You. Now let's get her done." That's a big difference. That takes the weight off of us. That puts the joy back where it should be. Puts the spring back in our step. Said, "Oh, you know," because some of us, after a little while, if you're not careful, and this is one of the enemy's favorite deals, is to try to get you back focusing on what you have to do, what you're supposed to do, make it heavy, make it burdensome, to where you don't enjoy moving forward because you feel like you have to do it all. That will kill anybody. But this word here, the picture is like of a camel that's weighed down with a heavy load. When the load is to be removed, the camel kneels down, tilts to one side, and the load just rolls off. That's the picture we're talking about. When you say, "Commit your works to the Lord," it's coming up to the Lord and saying, "Here you go." Just letting the thing roll off of us, getting up, and now going forward completely in His strength, in His help, knowing that whatever I'm going to accomplish up there, when I see it coming down the path, He's going to help me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to gird me up. He's going to help me do it. That'll make you happy. That'll put a smile on your face. That'll make you light. That'll make you so you're not snapping at other people. We start snapping at other people when we feel like we have to do everything. You know what I'm talking about? When you have pressure on you, you're not fun to be around, and neither am I. The more we put things back in perspective and enjoy the presence and the grace of God, the more we're going to be light. The more the people around us are going to enjoy us, the more we're actually going to accomplish what He's called us to do. This is familiar, but Jesus said, Matthew 11:28 on your sheet, "Come to Me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." Are we going to be challenged in 2016? Yes, but it does not have to be drudgery. Are we going to grow?
Yes.
Yes, but it does not have to be painful. I mean, you're going to hit some stuff. I'm not saying it's going to be completely without pain, but it doesn't have to be. It's painful for your flesh, and if we'll put our flesh down, then we can go forward. We're going to experience things, but it does not have to be hard. There's a difference. We can say, "Yeah, I know I'm going to change. Yeah, I know I'm going to be stretched, but I'm just going to keep on enjoying, keep on loving God, expecting Him to work with me." Hallelujah. Let's close with this, and we're going to take communion. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. That's the same word that we said in Proverbs 16, where it says, commit your works to the Lord. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Say that. He shall bring it to pass. Amen. He shall bring it to pass. Now, what do we have to do? We have to cooperate with him. But we're a team. He's going to help us as we yield to him.